Podcast.
Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Joe.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Hello.
So how are you, Mr. Kiss?
Okay, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, and Mr. Havnot?
Feeling all right, you know.
How is it? Is it nice and cold where you guys are? Down here in the South, you know, I live in the deep South, okay? So, and I kind of live, and you know, if you think about the United States, I live in Georgia, and I do live directly west of Atlanta. So I'm still in North Georgia, but I'm West Georgia. And I will tell you that the low temperature here, it has been like 23-20, and the high has been in the mid-40s. So compared to you guys, what's that like?
It's about the same for me.
It's minus 2 degrees Celsius right now over here.
Yeah, that's freaking cold.
Oh, that's nothing. It'll get to like minus 20 or so in February.
Oh. All right, anyway, thank you for tuning in to Podcast Rock City. If you don't know what we are a KISS podcast. We love KISS, everything about KISS. Well, I mean, not everything, but, you know, for the most part, we stay positive. All right, so there's some KISS news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Gene Simmons is doing a show in Tennessee at like their bike week. What is it? Nashville Bike Week? What was it?
Yeah.
So in a Skid Row, Slaughter, the Big Rock Show, which is a cover band, and Gene Simmons. Now, I'm imagining that a lot of stuff is happening on different days, but Gene Simmons is going to be doing, I guess, solo stuff? What do you think? What can you put our imaginations to work.
Here's what I want to know. Is it going to be... You remember when he did that solo shit where it was like Jumpin' Gene and all this kind of swing band crap?
Right.
Is it going to be that, or is it going to just be like kind of singing KISS tunes with like a backing band like Paul did on his tour? Or, you know, what's he going to do?
I don't know. What do you think, Andrew?
I have no idea. Like, it just says Gene Simmons, but he's got like makeup on in the... And the poster, or the advertisement, so...
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know.
Video, he's just talking. It's him, no makeup, no nothing. So, you know, you gotta wonder, man, what's he thinking? What's gonna... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd pay to see him do his 78 solo record.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I would pay to see that. It'd be something that I'd never seen before. You know, but... And, you know, maybe even a few tunes off of Asshole. But other than that, what? And then, of course, he would have to do, like, Deuce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe what if he's, like, finally going to release his big box set of demos and this is going to be the tour of those songs?
That would be cool. I wish there was some clarification. I hate the fact that there's really no announcement other than, you know, the video of him going, you know, coming, what is it, September? It's like, you know.
Long way off.
Long way off.
He has plenty of time to get something cool together.
Yeah, man. So it could be that band. It could be him and Johnny Depp and like.
That would be lame. I'd rather see him do kind of like what Paul did. You know what I mean? Put a band together and then he could do his Deuce and he could do God of Thunder, but also he could break out like Charisma or Naked City and shit like that, you know?
Hell yeah. I'm writing him a letter.
And, you know, that House of Blues, it'll be like Live to Win, but with Gene, you know?
Yeah.
Live to Vomit Blood. For those of you that are listening, there's no way we can kind of disguise it. I don't even think I can fix it in editing, but we're having fucking issues with Skype and Andrew's coming in and out, so... If you hear like a little beeps and pops and clicks, that's why.
Beeping,
booping, jello pudding.
That's technology being so sorry, it's everyone.
But. Absolutely. But we're doing our best. Let's see. I saw something else that I thought was really crazy. And then I have another little story to tell you guys because it's kind of mind blowing. But it was an old interview all of a sudden popped back up online. And I had never seen it before. And it was with Tom Kiefer, where he came out and basically said, sorry, John Bon Jovi did not discover Cinderella. Gene Simmons did.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Apparently, he, according to Tom Kiefer, he discovered Cinderella, went to the record label and said, you guys should jump on this, and they didn't listen to him. And then when John Bon Jovi said it, that's when, I guess, you know, they finally listened to him. And at that point, John Bon Jovi, I think, was pretty huge, you know?
Right.
But well,
would you listen to Gene based on his track record of bands he's been, like, that were on his label or something? Because I sure wouldn't.
You know what, though? At that point, though, was that before or after?
Well, I don't know what year you're talking about, but what the first Cinderella came out in, what, like, 86 or some shit?
Maybe 85. So
this would have been like 84, 85.
When he would be discovering them would probably be earlier 80s. It wouldn't be, you know. So, okay, but still, you know, Gene Simmons comes to you and says, check them out. Why don't you go check them out? You know, it true. Obviously, it the proof is going to see them. You know, it's not like when Gene signed, you know, his own bands to his label. That was his track record. You know, but he's coming to you and saying, hey, you should go see this band. The least you could do is go, I'm going to go listen and see what they're all, you know, see what why he would say that. Because there's no money involved. You pay for a ticket. You go listen. If they suck, you're done. You know, but they did the same thing with Van Halen, you know, and he, you know.
True.
According to Gene.
Have you ever seen that? There's like some old commercial that Cinderella did back in the like early 80s for like a, I think it's like a corn dog place or some shit.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you, it's definitely Tom Kiefer as the singer.
Yeah. And there's like a pizza place or a corn dog commercial somewhere in Philly, right?
It's kind of, it looks like a Geno's type, you know, corner place or something. Yeah, it's pretty. I would have done it.
Hell yeah, man. That's free exposure.
Hell yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Okay.
We got Andrew back again, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. So the other day I was driving around town and I was listening to Gene's book, his first book, all in audio. And, you know, I had never listened to the first part. I don't know why. I just was so excited when I got the book. I skipped ahead chapter wise to just hear Gene, right?
Right.
So
you've been going back and hearing about when he was a baby.
He was a kid, yeah. Right. So I put it on and I'm listening to the story about his mom bashing, you know, this lady in the head until she bled for hitting Gene, you know, for stealing figs and shit like that. And I'm just driving going, I can't believe she beat this woman up, you know.
That's crazy. And, Florence.
Yeah,
she seems so mild mannered, you know.
Yeah, you know, even went wound up in the police station, you know. And anyway, so he's talking about comic books, right? And he starts talking about this comic book called Gorgon. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay, so he's talking about his favorite comic books as when he was a kid, things that he would really get into. And one of them was called Gorgon. And basically what he said was it was a ripoff of Godzilla.
No, it was Gorgo, and it was a movie.
Okay, Gorgo, is that what it was?
Yeah, and it was a movie. It was the UK's answer to Godzilla, so it was a Godzilla knockoff, but it was set in London. It was called Gorgo.
Okay, well,
I think. Okay. Yeah.
So fast forward, he's talking about the comic book in the so they must have made a because I'm going through this store and sure enough. Son of a bitch. I never heard of this thing in my life. I never saw it, but all of a sudden, boom, in the glass case, they've got this comic book. It says based on a movie that, you know, came out. And so, all right, here's where it gets really crazy. So, of course, I walk right up to the counter. I look to see how much it is. I'm like, I'm buying this because Gene even mentions in the book that his boots come from a cross between that and Godzilla. And I was like, this is pretty cool. It's kind of like an obscure Kiss memorabilia.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know? So it's like $5. I'm like, hell yeah, I pick it up. Karen and I are walking to the counter, and I'm going, I can't believe this comic book is here. It's just so strange. The next day, I go to work, and this guy Jimmy is working. Jimmy's a little bit older. He's probably 63 or 64. He used to be in a band called Burnham Wood. Back in the day, I don't know if I ever told you guys the story about Lydia's book.
Yeah, he was the dude whose band was on the poster for the Electric Ballroom in Lydia's book, right?
Yeah. So I'm telling him, hey, man, I'm telling him the story. I was listening to this thing, and Gene Simmons talking about this comic book, and I said, I got this comic book. It's called whatever it was. And he goes, oh, man. He goes, no joke. I had the pinball machine.
Wow.
I said, you own, because Jimmy owns pinball machines. He's got like two or three. I do know he's got the 80s Hulk, which if you go online and look at it, it's so cool, man. I want to get it off his hands so bad. Anyway, so, but he was like, yeah, and when you put your money in, it actually said, whatever his name is, I am Gorgon or Gorgo or whatever it is. But yeah, I was like, that is the craziest thing. Why would you have that? You know? I don't know. It was just a weird
like synchronicity.
Yeah, it just keeps happening. Anyway, all right. So thank you guys for listening. We got a lot to talk about today.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
We decided to talk about the Dynasty album. And so let me tell you a few things about the tour first before we get into the record, okay? So the tour had first of all, I always like to point out Kiss Alive Forever, the complete touring history. Okay, that's a great book. If you can get it online, because it's out of print, I believe, it's really hard to get, and it's usually a little bit of money, but trust me, it's completely worth it. Every little these guys really put a lot of effort into it. So the Dynasty Tour, 79 shows, start date June 15th, 1979 in Lakeland, Florida. Then end date was December 16th, 1979 in Toledo, Ohio, and they only went to Canada and the U.S. And the bands that opened were Breathless, Cheap Trick, I don't know if this is Ellie or Eli, John Cougar and The Zone, John Butcher Axis, Judas Priest, Loverboy, Michael Stanley Band, Nantucket, New England, Rockets, Sweet, and Whiteface. Sweet. Average attendance, guess.
11,000.
Yeah, pretty close. 10,523.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and the tour seems that, 10,000 a show, almost 11,000, that's successful, right?
Whoa. Oh, my God. Andrew, are you on a plane?
No.
It sure sounds like it.
Okay, so let's keep going. In the book, it says that the objectives to this tour was to A, make money, and B, put out the most spectacular show ever to go on the road. I thought that was always their goal. So
yeah. It's like a mission statement.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go back and you watch the videos, first of all, the stage is very, to me, it was very classy. Does that make sense? Very, very streamlined. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of icy, cool.
Yeah.
Ice capades.
It doesn't, it's very clean. How about that? Is that a better word?
It's very clean.
It's very clean looking.
Very white.
Yeah.
Do you think that's so that all the color would show up better?
Oh, pop? Probably, The drum riser was cool. I can't really tell exactly what it is, but it looks studded.
Yeah, it looks like a choker.
A choker, yeah, but I'm not sure if that's exactly what it is. And then when it rose, the cat was under there, which was a different cat.
Like a big face, right?
I think it was a black cat.
Yeah, like the old black cats almost.
Yeah, like the firework.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was the one where they rose up from the back of the stage,
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
It sucks. It's sad, though, because at the time, they're totally falling apart, and they sound a little rough live, and, Peter doesn't want to be there, and has lost all his drive,
Right. Not only that, I believe it's the Lakeland show. That if you watch it, he forgets the words to Beth and then laughs about it. It's like the first time I saw that, of course, was a bootleg. And I was like, wow, he thinks it's funny that all these people are paying to see him sing Beth and he just forgot the words. And it was also this tour where they talk about where Peter would speed up and slow down on purpose.
Yeah.
He was
all in all, by then, Peter is totally checked out, and his playing suffered greatly. We've talked about it to death,
Yeah.
Even at 77, he was pretty much done.
As far as the record goes, you know, some people, you know, I watched this interview with Ace one time where people were saying, you know, well, you're putting out a disco album, and Ace goes, I don't think it's a disco album at all.
Ace, could you explain why you changed from rock to disco?
I don't really think we made any drastic change. I think the majority of the album, I think, is rock still.
You know, he said that. Now, if you listen to I Was Made for Loving You, that song, sure, but, I mean, I don't know. I
don't. See, we talked about this on an episode a couple years ago. I don't feel that. I feel like Dynasty doesn't get its due because it is written off as the Kiss disco album when, in fact, it is not a disco album whatsoever. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's... If you want to count I Was Made for Loving You as disco, and I still kind of don't hear that as a disco song. I mean, it's a lot more rocking than any disco song I've ever heard, you know?
The whole idea for us was to do a song that fit the category and was still pretty true to what we do.
And I think we combined the best of all possible worlds.
Right, yeah.
And granted, Paul's come out and said that he wanted to write that disco song and have it be a disco song, but... I never heard any disco song that had a smoking guitar solo and killer, you know, rhythm guitars. I don't know.
I agree.
I can kind of forgive Kiss for that one.
The thing about the record, though, if you put it on now, I just don't hear the disco. I mean, I Was Made for Loving You. Sure, Paul comes out and says that he wrote it as a disco song, but or that he could just, you know, write whatever that was, but... If it just depends on when you hear them do it. Like, when you hear them do it on Alive 3, it's rock.
It's clearly not disco on Alive 3.
Clearly not disco on Alive 3. You know, that song's played heavy, you know?
I think that it gets tagged as disco from the beat, and then the fact that Paul does that crazy high, like, Bee Gees falsetto.
Yeah, it's very much Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
what about that crazy, like, the 12 inch that's like really long? What is it, like 7-8 minutes long?
You know, I've never heard that.
It's about the same, it's just that it's extended, like there's an extra 4 bars here, an extra 8 there, you know.
Yeah, it's too much.
I mean, I guess if you're dancing to it, you want it to last a little longer or something, but I just could never even picture people dancing to that song. Do you think, like, Studio 54 was playing that and people were, like, doing the whole, like, Travolta dance to that damn song? I just can't picture it.
That's a good question. I'm not really sure because I've never seen video of... You know, you can always find stuff online. Video, you know, let me tell you, let me read one of the set lists to you. So July 7th in Washington. So it's really strange. The set list is... King of the Nighttime World, Radioactive, Move On, Calling Dr. Love, Firehouse, New York Groove, I Was Made for Loving You, Love Gun, 2000 Man, Ace's Solo, Tossin' and Turnin', Gene's Bass Solo, God of Thunder, Peter Criss's Drum Solo, Shout It Out Loud, Black Diamond, Detroit Rock City, Beth, and then Rock and Roll All Night. What's it say here? It says that both shows were archived.
Cool. It's a decent set list. I never understood why they kept Firehouse for so many years. Because Gene can breathe fire to any song, really.
Yeah.
I've always felt like that was one of the weakest, like, Kiss staples that they, for some reason, they really dig it. I just don't. I've never had a thing for Firehouse.
Maybe it's fun.
Maybe.
So let's talk about the record. Okay. Do you have it? You, Jody, I don't have my copy with me.
No, but I can, I guess I could go grab it or just look it up here on this computer.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I normally bring my records with me, but they're upstairs. And, you know, I'm sitting here in my Kiss room right now, and I do have the Dynasty posters on the wall. The ones that came in that super rare magazine that everybody likes, and... I, of course, do not own it. I had to get the posters separate. But, you know, where they have the big capes and Peter has the lions on his shoulders and, you know. It sure was like a big change from the black and silver to, you know, bright colors.
Yeah, the Super Kiss. the much debated Super Kiss. What do you think of it? I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Super Kiss look.
Well, here's the thing. I like the look of it, okay?
Yeah.
But I do like the look of it. I'm not going to lie. It's, I, you know, but I don't know if it's because I'm looking at it like, you know, Pete's got that belt buckle on where it looks like he just won a rodeo, and Paul's got all the paisley, and Gene's, you know, got the big ostrich feet. And
yeah.
It looks like big ostrich feet. Anyway.
It's weird how there's so many different Gene outfits for the Super Kiss look, you know? There's the like one the one that's all black.
Studded, yeah.
Then there's the tinfoil one.
Here's the question of the day. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
If you could dress up in any of the Dynasty costumes, which one would you be for Halloween?
Ace, probably.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's where I would go to.
Because it is the most streamlined in that.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, somebody put a gun to your head and said, here's four costumes, put one on or die. I'm putting Ace on myself, to be honest. Only because the big silver cape looks badass, I think. And
plus, you could play Simon on that thing in the middle. It's an old joke.
I see it. Doop, yeah. Doop, 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 doop.
Boop, boop, boop.
You're back, Andrew. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, he's we're working it. Jody, which one would you wear?
Oh, man. I'd probably, just for kicks, check out that aluminum foil getup.
The Gene outfit, just so you could walk in those big feet.
Yeah, with the teeth sticking out the bottom or whatever.
That is pretty cool. I'll give it that.
Talons or whatever. That's whatever you call those.
Maybe they're claws.
Claws. Something. I don't know. It might be kind of cool.
Nobody picked Peter, and Peter would be...
Well, like, that's a walking fire hazard.
That's a good point. And I bet he rarely ever had that entire costume on.
Can you imagine if he would have played live with those fucking heads on his shoulders?
Yeah, and all those, like, all that fur, man. Just, I'm not joking. I'm looking at it right now, and it's just like, his boots aren't really boots. They're just like...
Little green booties.
Yeah, green rat tails all around him.
It looks like something. Well, you know how they had those four posters, the one where Peter's just holding his sticks out?
Yeah, I have that too. Yeah.
His little green booties look like some kind of Peter Pan type of thing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I have those as well. And that's the one where Ace is pointing.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically the pictures from the Viewmaster.
Yeah. Paul's got the mirrored PS10 in his arm up in the air.
That's so awesome.
They should have had Gene with the axe base, though, instead of the one that they put with those.
It's so ugly.
Yeah, but of course, when I was a kid, you had to have all four hanging in your room, you know.
Yeah.
Man, the Skype's driving me nuts with Andrew coming in and out. I hope it isn't driving you people that are listening nuts.
Well, they might not even notice.
I think they'll notice, because when he comes in and out, it's like... But
anyway...
Maybe we'll make a disclaimer in the description.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So that's okay. Let's go ahead and do the track listing.
Cool.
Yep. Starts with...
So who... Vinny Poncia, right? He did the producing?
Poncia, yeah. Poncia.
Poncia.
How are you supposed to say it?
Poncia, I think. Anyway, first track.
Pinata.
Vinny Pinata.
You hit him and candy falls out of him.
Hit him and the hits just fall on the floor.
That would be nice.
Yeah. This song did go to number 11 in the U.S., which is, you know, damn near top 10.
Because I was made for you?
I was made for loving you, yeah.
Sweet. I'm not a hater. I love the song.
Hate the studio version. Love it live.
Alive 3 really kills it, man. Even the unmasked tour version in Sydney. You guys agree with that?
It's not bad.
Not really.
When I was a kid, I never liked this song that much at all. But like over the years, I've kind of grown to dig it a little bit, and I think Alive 3 did help with that.
Alive 4 did it better. That's weird.
It's a nice chunk live, you know?
Hey, Andrew, on Alive 4, when they did it, because I can't think about it right now. Is that, did they do it with the orchestra as well?
Yeah, they did. And it was the second last song. Yeah.
Man,
I think. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I love the documentary. It's so good.
You actually saw that in the theater. Lucky motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, they are re-releasing the Las Vegas show in Canada only.
I saw that.
So, okay, so what's the next song?
2000 Man.
2000.
Mm-hmm. Love this song.
I'm holding up two fingers, so.
So, Ace, you know, I can honestly say I've never heard the original version.
I have, and Ace just blows it completely out of the water.
Really?
Agreed. Oh, yeah.
It's just, you're not missing much.
I mean, the Stones one is mostly acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to throw that into the
show.
That's
when the Stones were being all psychedelic. That's off Satanic Majesties, you know?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I mean, I knew that it was a Stones song, but I had never heard the Stones until, like, years later. I was at this party with this hippie dude, and he was listening to that album, and it came on. I was like, holy shit, dude. It was way different.
I always think that this is a Hawkwind cover, not a Stones cover, because, like, this is so similar to Silver Machine.
Yeah. I think it's kind of cool that Ace rocked it out, you know, made it his own, because I think for most people, they think of it as one of Ace's signature tunes, you know?
Yeah.
I also like that it's kind of like, it's almost like something the Ramones would do, you know? It's real simple, straight downstroke and eighth notes, and makes it rock.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does rock. It's one of those ones that, you know, when a kid comes in and goes, I want to learn a Kiss song, sometimes I'll make them listen to 2000 Man and go, you want to try this?
Yeah, because it's easy enough that they can grab it right away.
Yeah.
I used to do the same stuff. I think it's pretty interesting, you know, coming off the solo albums now, Ace has three cuts on the record and the second track on the side A, you know?
Crazy. Oh, yeah.
He's really moved up in the Kiss world, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From a guy that didn't want to sing at all, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and all of a sudden...
It's all due to his solo record, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, you know, if we believe everything we've been told since we've been doing this show together, it wasn't the biggest selling, right? Jeans was, right? That's what we were told. But still, the hit came from Ace.
Yeah.
So after that, you know, of course they were like, oh, look at this. Ace can write songs, you know.
Yeah. Like, even if Ace's didn't sell the most, it was still the most successful in terms of turning people on to Ace, because all of a sudden it's like, wow, dude, to see that side of Ace and see what he was really capable of was really mind-blowing to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, and I have to say that I'm torn on happy and sad. I'm happy that he saved those songs for a solo album, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sad that he hoarded them away from Kiss, though.
Right, because some of those he was saying in an interview that someone asked him about Rock and Roll Over and why he didn't really have any writing on there, and it's because he was hoarding his shit up for the solo album, he said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in theory, you could have had, like, a rip it out on Rock and Roll Over or something, you know?
Yeah, and that would have fit perfectly.
That would have been badass. And Ace probably wouldn't have been comfortable singing it yet, so it probably would have been like Peter or Paul or something.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What?
Airplane's coming back.
Oh, that.
Just every once in a while, it's like... like it sounds like you're standing in a hangar and jets about
to
take off.
Dude, I'm reenacting that Hitchcock movie. That's how he has to duck from that airplane.
That's funny, man.
Oh, man. So what's next? What's the next one?
Next one's your favorite, Joe. It's called Sure Know Something. Sure
Know Something. All right, so, you know, would you say that? I wouldn't say that's a disco song either.
Nah.
No, but it's definitely poppy. Like, it's got a bit of that 70s...
Yeah, it's kind of like that, and I Was Made for Love, and You Have a Sound.
It's got a slight bit of Hot Air the same way that I Was Made for Love and You does.
It's the falsetto in the middle,
like I picture Dry Ice in either, or sorry, in both songs. Like, I can't hear the song without thinking of that. It's still a good song, but much better in E flat and live.
I think it's really good on Unplugged.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where the bass, you know, really drives it.
Yeah, and ever since we did a Dynasty episode a couple years ago with fucking Zinzak, right? And he pointed out to me that how live now Gene doesn't do the same bass line, right? And ever since he's mentioned it, now I cannot unhear that. Every time I hear it, I'm like, ah, fuck. Because I'm not going to do it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
He's changed it. He had a couple extra little notes, and it's just not as cool. It sounds like Mario Brothers. So...
Mario Brothers.
Or some kind of like 8-bit. I don't even know, but yeah. Instead of going ding 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 ding, the way he does it now, he goes ding 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 ding, and it's not as cool. I know that's nitpicking, but still.
It's another letter. We're going to write him again.
But do you feel, here's what I feel about this song and I Was Made for Loving You. These are the only two songs that kind of have that new Kiss direction where everything else, I think, could have fit on each guy's individual solo album, like, perfectly.
Wouldn't you think that that's where they came from?
Yeah, there might have been leftovers, because, like, Dirty Living would totally fit on Peter's. Charisma's totally a Gene solo. Magic Touch is Paul. Hard Times, and all of Aces could go on Aces, you know what I mean?
Peter should have put Dirty Living on his solo album.
Yeah, but then what would he do for this?
Who cares? Yeah,
he's kind of he never has really had much material.
That was
another lip song.
Yeah,
is that the only song you played on as well, right?
I think they demoed, what was the, there's another Peter Criss demo in the demos for Dynasty that they could have went with. I think it might have been Out of Control or something, maybe. I can't remember.
I think it is.
But I like Dirty Living a lot. I think it's one of, like,
it's great.
Peter's best things that he's done in Kiss, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good song. You know, and going back to where I was, you know, I'm listening to Gene's record. That now that I've heard Paul's, you know, they overlap a lot, and where they're talking about Peter, you know. Whereas Gene's came out in 2001, Paul's came out what, 2014 or 15? You know,
you're talking about the books.
Books,
yeah. Yeah.
Overlapping, you really start to see that, you know,
they're on the same page.
They're on the same page. They talk about a lot of the same stuff, you know, a lot of the same stories, and I don't think that was planned. I think they just, there are certain things that
that's just the truth.
Stick out in their heads, you know. But, like, you know, remember back, this is, you know, back when they were filming the commercial for the return of Kiss.
The return of Kiss. The return of Kiss. Don't miss the return of Kiss. It's the album you've waited 2 years to hear. Kiss Dynasty. It's the hot new, all new album from Casablanca. Kiss Dynasty.
You know, in the commercial, they had to use the stand-up. This we've talked about.
Yeah.
Because Peter got angry and put his fist through, some glass or something.
Yeah. Peter was so ready to be out of the band, you know?
I just don't understand.
It's all because of Beth, dude. Beth fucked up everything for Kiss. If you really look back at the history, everything was going smooth. Once Beth hit, Peter Criss was out of control.
You know, but do you agree with that, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. Well, his ego inflated.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, and because it was so different, he felt like that, you know, maybe he didn't really fit in with these guys. If he could have this big hit doing something completely opposite of what they do, you know?
He could do more to what he grew up on and just do more of a, I guess, a it's like Tony Bennett type thing? Or
he calls it, Peter Criss himself used to call it soul rock. That's what he's into.
Yeah, I call it soul shit. But then again, what have I ever done in my life? So I shouldn't say that.
Okay,
I don't know.
You know, it's just not your thing.
You know, no. Still.
It's not most people's.
Always remember this, and this is the thing that's pointed out in Gene's book that that Paul doesn't point out. It when it won the People's Choice Award, it tied with Disco Duck.
Nice.
Okay. He's like, he said, you know, it tied with Disco Duck. And when he said that, I was like, really? He couldn't pull it out over the, what was that guy's name, man, that did Disco Duck? I can't.
Oh,
He was a DJ, man.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now. I had that record when I was a little kid, though.
Did you? Oh, everybody did. But, yeah, so, you know, it was a People's Choice Award, you know. Anyway, but, yeah, so I just don't understand. You know, especially when you go back and listen to the book, man, you know, it's just like Peter came in with little pieces of this song.
I was going to say, do you know what the original title for Disco Duck was supposed to be?
No, what?
Mariachi Mallard. That was totally worth interrupting you, Joe.
It was totally awesome. Thank you.
That was circus.
Mariachi Mallard. Oh, man, I'm writing that. Anyway, so I don't understand. You know, he knew he had very little to do with that record other than a little snippet of it. He sang it. That's it. That's it. You know, and in that interview with that really with that guy in Detroit, I wish we got to look up his name and remember his name. You know,
Cousin Brucey?
No, but he's like that guy. But he's like he's interviewing Kiss. You know, it's that famous, you know, Kiss are playing four nights here in Cobo Hall, blah blah blah, and they're interviewing them. Now they're without makeup, but they're filmed from the back. You remember this, Jody?
Oh yeah.
And then he goes, let's talk about Beth. What a great song. You know, and then Peter's like, I got a million of them.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But the thing is that how could you – I mean, was that all for illusion, you think, to make people believe that he really wrote the song?
Well, you know, to the general public, if somebody sings a song, that's their song. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, look at, you know, any pop star – if you look at them, they didn't write their fucking songs, but you think of, you know, use Whitney Houston or whatever. People think that, you know, her doing I Will Always Love You, that's kind of her song, but she didn't write it, obviously. But
yeah,
it's still...
Dolly Parton did.
Maybe that's a bad example, but you know what I'm saying, especially back then.
Well, I remember, you know what, just to change subjects because of that Dolly Parton thing, yeah. I remember this... interview with Dolly Parton after I Will Always Love You was such a huge hit, you know?
Yeah.
And they asked Dolly Parton what she thought about it. She had almost like a Gene answer. She was like, my bank account loves it. I know that song Whitney Houston made her millions, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I like Dolly Parton.
Great song.
Dolly Parton's the shit.
I recently watched this movie called Rhinestone with her and Stallone. Oh. You ever seen that?
Do you really? Where he's trying to say dog.
Yeah, dog. It's fucking hilarious, dude. He's like a city guy down in the South.
It's driver trying to do country music.
It's fucking hilarious.
Too much, man.
It's really funny. I'm a Stallone fan, though. He's funny. Oh. But yeah, so should we talk about Dirty Living?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I'm like running away from Peter. Yeah, that's the only song he played on. It's the only song he sang. Anton did everything else, right?
No, Peter did for that song. Yeah, sorry, I thought you were.
Yeah, I mean, but all the other songs, I believe.
Oh yeah, that was all Anton. Everything else.
Well, Anton, I think that even the guys said that, you know, Vinny, they to try to keep Peter happy, they used his producer from his solo record. And still...
They still didn't use his drumming.
You know, Vinny Poncia was like, you know, you're not cutting it.
Yeah, that had to be tough for Peter.
Yeah, and that made him want to leave more, guaranteed.
So what do you think about the, like, edited Dirty Living, the long version of that? You heard that?
I haven't.
Yeah, is look at that.
45 or something? Or?
It's like a 12-inch single. It's a few more minutes long.
Get these things.
They're on YouTube. I'm pretty sure you can find them. Dirty Living, though, is like, I just see it as like it could be a total soundtrack song to like Miami Vice or like some type of cop show where they're like,
maybe,
you know, there's some kind of cocaine involved. Like,
there definitely was cocaine involved. Right,
here. Right. But yeah, I mean, I could see it in, you know, it's in Miami Vice or like some kind of fucking Beverly Hills Cop or something.
Yeah, man, it's almost like Smuggler's Blues.
Yeah. Peter's driving late at night, trying to hook up with some coke.
Dirty Living.
In the video and shit. It'd be cool.
Is
Andrew back? I think Andrew's back.
I am.
What do you think about Dirty Living?
Yeah.
It's a good song. I like it.
I wonder, you know, They could have thrown that into the Dynasty set list.
Be a lot cooler than tossing and turning, I can tell you that much.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's true. All right, so what's next?
Up next is my favorite Gene song on the album. A little song called Charisma.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What is my... I don't have to sing everyone, but, you know, they just... There's good hooks.
Dynasties are one of the unsung Kiss records, man. I think it's pretty good. Charisma's a great song, dude. I always like that one. It's always been my favorite. One of my favorites on the whole album, really. But definitely my favorite Gene song.
You know, he really kind of sings. He doesn't. He's left the monster Gene.
Yeah, there's like a lot of really great Gene-isms, though, too, you know. It's really cool.
Tell me, say one.
You know, just how it'll be. I can't necessarily do them, but... Yay, yay, and that kind of stuff, you know. Where he's like, hops!
Aw, Gene, he's so awesome.
This one has a co-write by Howard Marks. Kind of interesting.
Really?
I think that the story is that he had been mentioning to Gene, like, what is your charisma? And Gene's like, you know, that's good. Something to that effect, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. I think Zinzak told us that story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've mentioned him twice now. Tell him.
No, I found it out from KSD.
Oh, yeah.
It's on their Dynasty episode.
Right on.
So you got KST and Chris Zinzak, who we've mentioned twice, is in has a show called Decibel Geek. I know you guys all know.
Aaron Camaro. Sorry, I made Camaro.
That's the coolest name ever. I wish my name was Joe Firebird.
That would be cool. Joe Fastback.
Oh,
Joey Fastback in the house.
I'm more fat Joey Fatass right now, but.
Whatever.
That's what happens when it's holidays and everybody's baking shit. And good God, every time I turn around, I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll have 50 cookies.
'Tis the season.
Sure the hell is.
So you guys give Charisma the thumbs up?
Thumbs up on Charisma.
Big inflated Mark St. John thumbs up.
Nice. Haven't heard that one in a while. I like it.
That's funny. All right, next.
Next is probably the best song on the album, in my opinion, Magic Touch.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's really good.
Again, all the Paul songs have a lot of dry ice in my head, but it's really good.
There is dry ice in your head.
Picture
that's
it
awesome.
Like on the puzzle boxes or something.
I'm just picturing Andrew with all this like dry ice coming out of his ears. And
looking like that scene where Michael's dead in Grease 2.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know,
I can't get away from it.
Leather outfit, you know?
Yeah.
Ever. Okay, I'm sorry.
Just when I found you, I lost you.
Yeah, that's, you know, Magic Touch, good song. You know, that would have fit perfectly on Paul's solo album.
Oh, yeah. A killer version on the old Live to Win Live thing.
Oh, yeah, it's the best rendition of it.
Yeah, it's killer.
Mm-hmm.
I have that, and I have never opened it.
Why?
I don't know. I have so many of these videos.
Yeah, you love Gene Simmons' Asshole album, but you've never opened that DVD.
No. I have listened to Live to Win, and I love that. And I do love this, but I've never watched I'll tell you what I did watch. I have the bootleg of the Atlanta show that I missed. And I found it. Now, I have watched that two or three times, but I've never watched the one he put out, you know?
It's pretty cool. There's a little intro thing where he's talking about getting to live to win, and it's pretty cool, man. It has a little montage. You should watch it, dude. I know you don't want to lose the value once you open it.
No. I'm going to... Look, I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like I have three copies. It looks like people were giving me copies. I'm looking at it. I'm going to snag it, and I'm going to put it in the DVD player. I will tell you that when I was laying in bed the other night waiting to fall asleep, I did watch that old VH1 Kiss Behind the Music.
I like that one a lot.
So good. And when you rewatch it now, you're like, oh, man, this means so much more now that all the books came out. And you know,
maybe we'll have to all watch that and do like our movies thing, but on that.
Oh, that would be good.
That would be cool.
That would be good, yeah.
I like how they actually kind of cover everything, more or less.
Yeah.
They don't gloss over most of the stuff like a lot of their documentaries do, you know? Oh, you know what? I've been meaning to ask you about this. You know how they did that expo in Japan a couple weeks ago?
Right.
And part of it was supposed to be that documentary was supposed to be finally played, right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard any mention of it, have you?
Nope.
So you think it played and no one cared, or it didn't play, or what?
I don't think it played.
Jeez.
I will tell you, I saw the director online. Apparently, he wrote something like, "First I've heard of this," or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I don't guess that we'll ever see that footage.
No, we can chalk that bad boy right up next to the I video. And
Thrills in the Night.
Man, I was talking to Julian Gill last night about what is he going to do with the I video, because he owns it.
Oh, he's the one who got it?
Yep.
Did you tell him your idea?
No, I didn't tell him my idea because, you know, he's smart. You know, but basically I told him, I said I didn't mean to bother him about it, and he didn't say anything. He didn't say, "Dude, stop bothering me about I," you know, he knows who we are. But I was like, I really hope one day I get a chance to see it, you know. And I can tell you that I did talk to somebody that's in, I don't know where they, I'm sorry, and I apologize if you're listening. They're in another country, Europe, and they did get to see the video because they had it at an expo. And apparently Julian let them play it. Nobody was allowed to use their phones during it. Nobody was allowed to bring any recording equipment in while it was on. And when I asked the guy to describe it to me, he told me it was silly. He said it was fun and amazing to see, but he said it had, you know, I want to say he said that at one point, you know, the kids or the crowd were carrying them off, you know.
Really?
Yeah, so.
God, I'd love to see it, too.
Just a shame. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it's his. I get it. You know, whatever he had to spend on it is probably so ridiculous. More money than I could, you know. But it seems like, you know, personally, I want it. If he had to spend money on it, I want him to make money on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also hope that sooner rather than later, you know, it gets put out. This way we all get to see it.
You still have the best idea I've heard, man. So if you're listening, Julian, all you got to do is put it online somewhere and let people pay 99 cents to view it, man. You'll make your money back and we'll all get to see it.
Yeah, you don't even have to. I mean, he might have different ideas. You know, I don't know if he, you know. So that's the thing. You know, somebody might be talking to him about, who knows?
Yeah, maybe he could sell it back to Kiss for their upcoming Kissology 4 that everyone's waiting for the last fucking 20 years.
Yeah. Which Tommy said is about 75% done. Yeah. All right, we got off on a tangent. What's the next song?
Next song is Hard Times.
My favorite on the album.
Yeah, mine too.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that song. Ace is badass.
He really is. I like how it just starts. It doesn't have some riff at the beginning. It just comes straight into it. That's cool.
Oh, Ace.
Interesting subject matter, you know. Ace kind of street side, you know. It's cool. I don't think it's my favorite on the album or anything, but I do really dig it. Cool solo. Ace is Ace, you know. It's a shame, though, that it seems like, I don't know, when he left Kiss, maybe he waited too long, because by the time, like, the Fraley's Comet came out, it doesn't sound anything like Hard Times or any of his Kiss material, you know?
Right.
And I wish it would have. Not that I didn't love, like, Rock Soldiers and shit like that, but, you know, Hard Times is way better than anything on Fraley's Comet.
Isn't the story that after Peter left, Ace pushed hard for Anton?
Yeah, didn't he, like, I think he didn't he tell Gene, and Gene told him to tell him he's in?
Tell him he's in. And then he, and I think Gene, well, so, I think it was a unanimous thing. I think that they told him, tell him he's the new drummer. And he said that in 24 hours, he had to call Anton and let him know you're the new drummer in Kiss, and then call him back and tell him, nope. It's like,
sucks, man.
And that's a terrible thing, you know? Now, don't get me wrong, his career didn't fail. You know?
No, he's done well for himself.
And we did get Eric Carr out of it, you know?
Yeah. Imagine what would Anton have been.
Golly.
Probably not the fox, you know? Maybe they would have went with the chicken or whatever.
Fig.
The hawk.
Man, it's a fig. Anton Fig Newton. He would have been this, like, cookie. this, like, Newton. Little jelly on the inside.
A whole sleeve of them.
I can never eat just one. You right. guys,
you gotta have the whole damn sleeve, dude.
A whole damn sleeve of, damn it. and they're so like thick. You have to make sure you have a drink. Okay,
big glass all of right. milk.
Everybody out there relates. Okay, okay. Is there anything else on that album?
There is.
What's the next thing?
The next thing is Gene doing X-ray eyes.
Oh, that's right.
That's a throwaway, in my opinion. I know Andrew likes it, though.
Not that much. When did I say that?
I thought you said that was your favorite Gene one on here over Charisma one time.
No.
Maybe I'm mistaken. But what? I think it's a good song. I don't think it's as strong as Charisma. And I think it's weird that Gene only has two songs. He's totally checked out.
Yeah, that's really strange when you think about it. But they pushed, you know, Ace.
Yeah, well, Paul has three, Ace has three, Gene has two, Peter has the one. Weird. Yeah, I mean, Ace really, really stepped up for this album, though. I mean, considering that Gene has less songs, that's crazy. But his materials really must not have been that strong. X-ray Eyes is kind of weak. Sounds like it could have been on his solo album, though, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it almost seems like you could have.
Oh my God!
There's the plane.
Oh my God! The plane.
It's okay. So, but it almost seems like this album, even though it would have made Ace happiest, it'd have been like, look, I'm equal. You know, I'm in here now, and although he was always equal, for some reason he just didn't think he was. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like the same with Peter. If you believe the books, you know, that's the problem. You know, and so here he is. He's got three songs on the record. According to Gene's book and Paul's book, they were pushing him to write all the time. What they would say was that when songs were written, they didn't feel they were up to par. If that's the truth, I don't know. I mean, sometimes when you look back, you go, well, how the hell did that Gene song make it on the record? You know?
I mean, if you look at it, Ace has written great shit all the way back to the first album.
Yeah.
You know? It's just that he didn't sing them. He usually gave them to Peter. Yeah. I think it's really cool that he finally kind of like came into his own by Dynasty. It's pretty groovy.
Yeah, it's almost like he forced the issue once his solo album came out. It was just like...
Or they forced it on him because
they
were like, wow, dude.
It's like, yeah, why don't you do this for us all the time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they Gene and Paul heard his record and they had to be surprised. Can you imagine them, those two and their ego, hearing their guitar player's album, you know, not expecting it to really do much, and then all of a sudden it's, like, so amazing.
Right.
You know, it had to, like, kind of be bittersweet for those dudes. It's like, on one hand, it's great because he's in our band, but at the same time, A, we've been missing out on all this great material over the years, and B, you're really giving us a run for our money, you know?
Yeah.
So you would think they would have to step up their game, but based on Gene's writing, I don't think he felt like he had to step up.
Yeah, good point.
But he does on Unmasked, though, so.
Right. No, I'll agree with that all day.
Oh, I know. The last song is probably... one of the weakest songs on the album to my ear, and that's Save Your Love.
Never had a thing for it.
Me neither.
It's that droning chorus, man. It gives you a headache after a while. This song could have been like 3.5 minutes and might not have been quite so annoying. I just think it's too long and too much Save Your Love, you know?
How did that go?
Something like that.
Wonderful. That was... very good.
It's just, I don't know. I think the verses and shit are all right, you know, and the solo's cool. But that chorus, I don't think that old Ezrin would have let that chorus slip by, you know?
Yeah, good point.
Maybe Poncia was on a different page. I don't know. Poncia, whatever, what have you.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Vinny.
It's not surprising that a guy named Vinny is Peter's guy, you know?
Totally.
Vinny. Well, that's Dynasty.
Yeah. Ta-da. I mean, all in all, an underrated record. It has its moments. But, I mean, it's the way it's looked at, I think it doesn't deserve to be taken just as a disco record. You got to actually listen to it and find out what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree. And the drumming on it's really, really done well because Anton is a kick-ass drummer. And
yeah.
You know, I was never one of those suspicious kids. I never heard Peter do that.
I can tell you, when I first got Dynasty, before I knew anything about it, really, I was thinking to myself, wow, Peter Criss is rocking on this album.
Yeah, that was when it came to, like, Unmasked.
Yeah. It's
like, and listen to that. Listen to that. Like you know?
I could see Peter doing that, but I thought it was weird. All of a sudden, on Unmasked, there's all these rototoms all on everything. Beep, 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 doo, doo, doo. You know what I'm saying? It's weird.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Good point. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. This has been a lot of fun. Dynasty, if you had to rate it, Andrew, like 5 stars highest, 1 star lowest, what would you give it?
3.5.
That sounds very fair.
Yeah.
I agree. I might even go 4.
I'd go a strong 4.
Yeah.
There's nothing I really hate on here.
Yeah.
But it's also not one that it's not one of my big go-to Kiss records at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, I get in the mood to check out Dynasty.
Yeah.
So.
Hi, this is Courtney Cronin-Dole, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City.
Well, thank you guys for listening. We have had a great time. Don't forget to go to podcastrockcity.com. Check out the premium section of the website. It's just 99 cents a month, and Jody and I do all kinds of extra stuff. If you want to go check it out, that would be great. So, Jody, you want to do this whole thing where we invite some people to write us?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, man.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, if you're listening to the show right now, the first 10 people to send us an email at podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
Thank you. At gmail.com. We will give you a month's free to check out the premium section of Podcast Rock City. And I can already tell you that we've already got, like, what, 425 or 30-minute shows on there. Plus
good stuff.
I put some video up there of my Kiss room where I do a little tour of it. And we're going to do more.
Yeah.
So, one of the cool things that we're doing on there is we're taking, like, I took an old 16 magazine from back in the 70s, and there was like 4 Q&As, one with each member of the band, and we went through them. It was pretty cool to see their answers. You know, obviously they were in good places at that point, and their answers are...
Yeah, it's pretty groovy.
Silly, a little silly.
I think we should do it like Matt, though, and they got to have the secret password on this email, because how would we know if it's just a random email?
So the email, when you email us, you have to say the word... Yeah, Jody, throw something out there.
The password is Space Bear.
Space Bear. You say Space Bear in the email, I will send you the codes to get in, and you can check it out for free for one whole month, entire month. Okay, anyway, that will be awesome. Don't forget, send us emails, check us out on iTunes, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Andrew, for coming on with us, man. We love you.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Nice
to talk to you guys again.
Yes, absolutely. Joe, do you have anything to add?
You know my routine. I would say thanks, everyone, for listening. We really do appreciate you guys listening. We think it's really cool, and keep it up, and we'll keep trying to do a lot of cool stuff for you guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Andrew? We lost him.
Of course we did. He'll come right back, though, and I'll edit it in.
Okay.
I'd like to also just kind of thank Courtney from last week. It was a great show. We got a great turnout of people listening to it, so thanks a lot, Courtney.
I heard that like 99% of our downloads were her mother.
Yeah. That's funny.
Andrew, you back?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything to add, sir?
Thank you for listening. Hope everyone has a great week.
Absolutely. And I want to add, we are big podcast fans and Kiss podcast fans, and you're going to know about all the shows that we like to listen to because I play the commercials after the show and you're going to hear them in 3, 2, 1, peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the Gods of Thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, f-
oh,
Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
Kiss podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls. Because we can.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast, and if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.